Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. What happens to us when we die? This is perhaps the single most important question that we can have as human beings. The good news is, if you're in Jesus Christ today, the moment you leave this life, you will be fully conscious and at home in heaven with Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Let's open our Bible now that we might gain a better understanding of what happens to us when we die.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another teaching. It's a Thursday afternoon here in Texas and here in the studio with Stephen and just spending time in the Word of God, just spending time in the Scriptures. There is no better way to spend time with Jesus than reading and studying your Bible and ultimately obeying your Bible. The Bible is the living Word of God. That's why we do this. We study the Word of God so that we could get closer to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, what we're going to talk about today is what happens when we die. What happens when you die? That I guess will be the title of this message. What happens to you when you die, or what happens when you die? So we're going to look at what the Scriptures say. There's a lot of different opinions on this. There's people have different thoughts about it, but the Scripture is clear. The Scripture is not ambiguous about what happens to a human being when they leave this life. So we're going to get into it here. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you that we have our Bible that we can come to when we have such questions, Father. And Father, this is perhaps the most important question, is what happens to us when we leave this life? And Father, above all, we thank you for Jesus. Because we know, Father, that because Jesus died and rose again, that for all of us, Lord, who are trusting in Jesus, who believe in Jesus, who are clinging to Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation of our soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring us to heaven when we die, we know, Father, that we will be resurrected. We will have resurrection life. We have resurrection life, and we will immediately be taken into your presence and in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we thank you, and we praise you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts to understand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so what happens when we die? It's important that we understand that every single human being that has ever lived is an eternal being. That this life is only the beginning. It's only the first part, and it is by and far the shortest part. Once we leave this life, we'll be in eternity forever. So this life will have been like, if you lived 80 years, it'll have been like a minute compared to eternity. So it's important that we get this right, because every single human being, and we're going to show this in the Scriptures today, that is in Jesus Christ, every human being that has received Jesus as their Savior, that is literally trusting and clinging to Jesus alone, as I said, for the forgiveness of your sin, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. That's what the Scripture says you need Jesus for. You will, when you close your eyes, when you take your last breath, you will immediately be conscious and taken to be in the presence of Jesus. And for all those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be escorted to hell and for awaiting judgment. And so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul is dealing with this with the church at Thessalonica. And he says in verse 13, chapter 4, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, Jesus, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, meaning that they'll get an eternal body. Again, your soul and your spirit, your consciousness will immediately go to be in the presence of Jesus if you're in Christ, or you'll be conscious of an eternity. You'll be conscious of separation from Christ in hell. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So the purpose of this is that you would be encouraged, that you would know. We said in Bible study this week that, I think it was in Bible study, I mean, how much do you hope for heaven? When you're having a bad day, or when you're struggling, or even if you're having a good day, it's good to meditate on the fact that this whole thing is real. It's good to meditate on the fact that heaven is real, and that when you leave this life, you will go to be with Jesus if you're in him. Now, if you're not in him, it's not pleasant to think about your death, because after we leave this life, all that awaits, if we've rejected Christ, is an eternity of suffering and sadness in hell. That's what we need to be rescued from. To be saved means that we need to be rescued. And what ultimately we need to be rescued from as human beings because of our sin is an eternity in hell. Let's look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. Very, very powerful verses. I mean, these are profound. You'll like this. So he's talking about, he's in jail. You know, he's being persecuted for Christ. He's testified to Christ so boldly that it's got him arrested and imprisoned. And he says in verse 20, Philippians 1, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Now look at this, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let me read that again. Paul says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's better. If I'm going to live, Paul says, I'm going to live to serve Jesus and to advance the gospel. That's his purpose for living. By the way, that ought to increasingly be our purpose for living. Now, the vast majority, really all of us as Christians, got a long way to go in that. We have a lot of reasons for living that are not just about Christ. But here we have undoubtedly the greatest Christian that's ever lived, who said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, some people have questioned and say, you know, the Bible doesn't say Paul is the greatest Christian to ever live. It doesn't. But the Bible does say that this is the man we're to emulate as a human being. Jesus is God, right? But as a human being, the scripture says this is the man we're to emulate. Turn over to chapter 4 of this book. You ever said this? You ever heard another human being say this? Like, ever? Anywhere? Philippians 4, look at verse 9. Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Just like he is with me, is what Paul is saying. So, I mean, put the brakes on for a second. Listen to that. Have you ever said that to somebody? Have you ever said, hey, y'all, check this out. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Just as he is with me. But yeah, pretty bold, right? And then you could turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, that you should imitate me. So again, the scripture actually tells us to imitate this man. Paul wrote more books. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. It's like half. The New Testament is 27 books, so he wrote half of them. The Bible has 66 books, so he wrote 20% of the books of the entire Bible. So you hear why I'm saying, I don't think it's a stretch to say this is the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, that should give us hope, because before he came to Christ, he was like one of the worst people to ever live. He was killing Christians and having them imprisoned and put to death before he came to Christ. So it doesn't matter what your past is. If you're not in Christ today, you can give your life to Jesus. And Jesus is in the business of taking the biggest screw-ups, and I count myself one of those, and making them a trophy for him. So that's pretty exciting. Doesn't matter what you've done. Humble yourself before the cross. Receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and he will begin to use you and change you. And when you leave this life, you will go to heaven when you die. So now let's go back to chapter 1, Philippians 1. So Paul says, again, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Look at verse 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. That's all that matters to him. If he's going to go on living in this body, you notice how he says, if I am to go on living in the body, because you're going to go on living whether you're in this body or out of it. And we'll look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But he says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. So he's torn, right? If I'm going to go on living in the body, I'm going to bear fruit for Jesus. I'm going to be fruitful. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I'm torn between living and dying. Most of us aren't torn. We want to live, right? I am torn between the two. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So you notice he says here, to depart from this life is to be with Christ. Okay? It's not to be sleeping somewhere. It's not to be in unconscious for some period of time. There is no soul sleep, okay? Paul knows that when he leaves this body, he gets to go be with Jesus, which is better by far. So what happens to you when you die? If you're in Christ, you get to go be with Christ. I am torn between the two. He's torn between living and dying because I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. It's, again, Paul is certain, and we ought to be certain. The Bible is clear that your hope in Jesus Christ is that you too will be resurrected. You'll be given a resurrected body. You'll be given an immortal body. That's kind of cool. That happens when you die, and hopefully we'll have time to read that in 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, an immortal body. Yeah. Now, theologians differ as to when you get that. Some believe you get it, you know, the moment you leave this life. Others believe you get it when you stand before Jesus for judgment. Some believe you get it, you know, when Christ returns. But we will have an immortal body. But make no mistake, there is no doubt. The scripture is clear that the moment you leave this life, if you're in Christ, the moment you take your last breath, the moment you die, you live. You really live. Bam. Golly. Whew. I am torn between the two, Paul says. Are you torn between the two? Living and dying? I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. This is the fruit that comes from walking with Jesus. This is the fruit of living as Paul did. This is the fruit of giving your life to Jesus. Is ultimately you get to a place that you know this whole thing is so real. This whole heaven, hell, this whole Jesus thing is so real. And you know it so clearly, and your faith is so certain that you'd rather die because you know that you will certainly go be with Jesus. Better by far, Paul says. Now, it's interesting. I've often heard people say things, you know, and I guess it doesn't make sense. But people will say, well, I don't want to die yet because I'm worried about my wife. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about these other things. You know what's going to happen? Yes, you may be worried about all those things right to the moment until you die. Because when you're in heaven and Jesus is right there in front of you, you're not living by faith anymore. Living by faith is only for this life. Once you leave this life and go to be with Jesus, no more are you living by faith. And when you're in heaven, standing before Jesus, you know for sure, you see him right in front of you. You see your king, your master, your savior, your God right there. And you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's got this, that there's nothing for you to worry about, that he's taking care of your kids, your wife, your husband, your parents, your grandkids, whoever it is. You know with certainty that he's got this. People who have lost loved ones are often surprised to hear me say that they're not, the loved one who's in heaven with Jesus is not worried about them. It's not that they don't love them. It's that you know that Jesus got this handled. And believe me, you learn that Jesus has this handled far better than we ever could. You've heard that control is an illusion, right? I mean, you know that your king's got it handled. I often say to the guys, my kids, I actually say to a lot of people, that if you were driving in your car and Jesus was sitting in the seat next to you so you could see him with your physical eyes, not by faith, he was literally right there next to you. You know it's Jesus. He's in his immortal body. The God-man is sitting right there. You wouldn't be thinking about anything else. You wouldn't be worried about nothing because you know he's got this. The Bible ends with the Apostle John saying, come, Lord Jesus. And the more you walk with Jesus, the more you want that. If I could choose anything, if Jesus said, John, I'll give you one thing, what would you like? I would say, come, Lord Jesus. That's what I want. Other people would say, well, what about all those other people that are saved? He'll take care of that. There's always going to be people who need to get saved. Okay. And, you know, depending on your eschatology, your end time theology, eschatological, your end time theology, the order of the end times, there's a 1,000-year millennium after the church is taken out. Again, depending when, if you, you know, whether you're, you know, premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial, you know, all the millennials, right? But there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And I certainly hope this is the one, you know, this is what I believe. But again, it's, you know, this is not clearly revealed. It's clearly revealed that there's a 1,000-year reign. Some people believe it's already happened. Some people believe it's metaphorical. I believe it's literal, where Christians will reign with Christ for 1,000 years on earth and people will be getting saved then. But it's just exciting. I'm just getting excited talking about it. Paul says, I'm torn between the two, Philippians 1:23. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Verse 24, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So do you see this? Depart, be with Christ, remain in the body. Okay, so there's no doubt in his mind that when he leaves this life, he's going to go be with Christ. If we're alive, we're not in heaven now, right? But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Verse 26, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. So he wants to die. It's better by far, but he's looking around, just looking at the church and saying, yeah, I mean, I can't go home yet. Y'all need me to stay. And, you know, and certainly he does get out of the, you know, out of jail. And, you know, he goes on living for a while longer. So, you know, get that deep down. To depart is to be with Christ if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then it's to be, you'll be escorted to, regrettably, a holding place in hell, awaiting judgment. Let's go to, golly, this is good. There's so much to go to, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bang. Okay, so Paul says that in verse 5, he's going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is living in us now, and that's a deposit of what is coming. Right? Look at verse 5. Actually, I'll start in verse 10. You know what? I'll start in verse 1 of chapter 5. Paul says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. So there it is again. If the earthly tent is destroyed, our body dies. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Verse 2, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. I mean, come, Lord Jesus. Again, the more you grow in Christ, and I'm certainly not there yet where I'm just, man, I want to die right now, but it would be better because Paul said we groan longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Again, the more you walk with Jesus, the more you love him, the more you obey him, the more you repent. I just want to repent more. Golly, I'll tell you, it's just, again, selfishness, right, is the core of all our sin, right? I'm a man of preference. You heard me that before. I like what I like. But, you know, so just I consistently see areas in my life where I need to repent of just different areas of selfishness. Because I know the reason I'm convicted is because I know that the more that I become like Christ, the more you become like Christ, the more you'll start having this groaning and longing, 2 Corinthians 5:2, to be clothed with your heavenly dwelling. Wouldn't that be nice just to be clothed, to put on some heaven? Let's put on some heaven, Stephen. Meanwhile, we groan longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Verse 3, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. You know, I mean, bam, I mean, when you leave this life, you know, whether you're cremated or whether you're buried, biblically, there is no difference. Okay. Just as a side note, I need to do a teaching on that, but there is no difference. Okay. It's not better to be buried. It's not better to be cremated. Okay. I mean, some people really want to get buried and just some people want to be cremated. Right. You know, ultimately, you know, now in Jesus's day, you know, they didn't pull out all the blood like they do now. It's kind of nasty when you look at a dead body, like all the blood is taken out, some of the organs, and they fill it up with formaldehyde. Kind of gross, right? Golly. You know, but, you know, you wait long enough and it's going back to dust, right? You know, the Lord told Adam, right, from the dust you came to the dust you'll return, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Cremation just speeds up the process like very quickly, right? Now, in Jesus's day, obviously, when the Bible was written beforehand, They didn't have no formaldehyde. They didn't pump that dead body up with chemicals, right? So again, I don't know why anyone would want to do that, but again, some people really want to be buried, right? Jesus is not going to use any of that, okay? None of this body is going to be used in any way, right? This body is aging, it's dying, it's, you know, from the moment you're born, you're dying, right? It's decaying. I mean, and if you're blessed and you just keep living older and older, everyone can testify as they get older that everything's getting harder, right? So, you know, he's not going to use any of it, right? You know, there's been millions and millions of body thrown into the sea, right? In which I guess all the flesh is gone in a day or two, right? Or 7 days or something. Then within a year, all the bones go to dust, you know? That's just a side note. So whatever your preference is, biblically, doesn't matter what happens to that. That's not you. The moment you die, you go to heaven to be with Jesus. I've told my wife that the moment I die, or anyone, you know, who knows me that happens to be around, don't look at that, right? I mean, that dead body is not the person. I want people to remember me as I was, right? Just boom, have me cremated, you know, and have a celebration. And don't lie. I mean, never do you see more lying than you do at a funeral. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent. I'm sorry. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Verse 4, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Again, Paul can't stop talking about, I got to get up out of here and get to heaven, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. If you're in Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives in you now as a deposit of that upcoming heaven. Bam. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. In this life. Verse 8, we are confident, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Okay, so once again, he's saying, I would rather die, but what we want to notice is the moment you leave this life, if you're sure you're in Jesus, to be away from your physical body is to be at home with the Lord. Don't worry about whatever happens to that body, okay? We are confident, Paul said, confident. And the more we grow to be more like Jesus, the more confident we'll be. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home to the Lord. Verse 9, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Why? Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Uh-oh. So Paul says, verse 9, we make it our aim to please him. That ought to be your life, looking to please Jesus, because you're going to stand before him and give an account of how you lived your life and used your time, talents, and money in service to him. How much of your time do you use for yourself and your own life and your own wife and your own kids and your own money and your own fun and your own job and, you know, your own hobbies, your own Netflix, your own games, your own Instagram, pretty much our whole life, right? Well, when you stand before Jesus, to the extent you used your time, talents, and money in service to him and the advancement of his kingdom and the gospel, you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded by your position in heaven. You'll be rewarded by how you experience heaven. You'll be rewarded with how you're just how close you are to Jesus and your relationship with him. Nothing you do gets you to heaven. You get to heaven only by trusting in Jesus, knowing yourself to be a hopeless, desperate sinner, and that only in Christ can you be saved, and receiving him as a gift. That's the only way to be saved. You do nothing to go to heaven except receive the gift of salvation and trust and rely in Jesus alone. But your reward in heaven is something different. No one has the same reward in heaven. And for those who've rejected Christ, who haven't received Christ, no one has the same punishment in hell. All right, I'm going to stop there. There's so much more I could say. I got to do another teaching on this at some point. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we have this Bible. Lord, I'm excited Lord, and I pray that everyone will be excited, Lord, that if you're in Christ today, that you can be confident that to be, when we leave this body, is to be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Golly, to be at home with Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we want you to come. Come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to draw, Holy Spirit, draw all those who don't know Jesus unto him, that they would receive him as their Savior, that when they leave this life, they would go to be with Jesus. Holy Spirit, seal this to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.